Hi, everybody, and a wonderful week. Happy 4th of July to all the people celebrating. We'd like to do this lecture, even I know that today people are very busy with the American holidays, so I will try to make it not as long as usual, but I got to put some information inside. So we're reading two portions, Matot and Masa'e. Basically, Matot and Masa'e are two parashot that coming together. Matot, starting with the idea of neder, vow, is, if you remember, in Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, we are dealing with all the vows, the things that we promise, that maybe we don't even remember that we kept the promise, or we don't even forget, some of us even forgot if we made any promise. And the idea is, like, why is it so important to keep a promise? Now, from an intellectual point of view, you know, when you make a deal with someone, it will be fair not to excite them too much with your promising, and then in the end, what you're getting, what they're getting, is basically nothing. You can do such a thing, because if you do so, first, you're lying, and lying is not a spiritual thing. It's not even good from social point of view. You can lie to people. But still, we got to go deep into the nether. What is a nether? What is a vow that it's so important that before start Rosh Hashanah, you have to cancel the vow? Why is it such an important thing? And why is it so important for us as a human being to be careful how we talk, how we promise, what we tell people? It's very, very important. And a lot of women should hear it, because I find that among women, the talk is kind of, I just say it. It doesn't mean I meant it. Well, if you say it, you mean it. It doesn't matter if you didn't mean it. There's no such a thing that you don't mean it. If you didn't mean it, then why would you say it? That's what I would ask. And it's something to be aware of, and you, those of you marry, tell it to your wife, your kids, those of you who saw your husband doing it, of course, stop him. You can't promise something, and I know a lot of you are using the word bli neder, without a vow. That don't promise will be better. What are you getting by promise, people? Attention, ego, respect. What are you getting by that? It's better not to say the bli neder without the vow. It's better just not to promise. Not to promise. Somebody tell you, can you come up with that amount of money for this project? You can say, I don't know. What will be your value in their eyes? Might be not that great. But at least you didn't do avon. You didn't do a sin. Because it's sin to promise and don't keep your promise. What if you promise and you keep your promise? Good. But what if you couldn't? What if the money get burned, Chas v'Shalom? What if something disappear? What if somebody, you went to Amsterdam on a trip for making more money? Things could happen. Why would you take a risk with promise and make a nether? Don't make a nether. Just don't. Don't make a nether. So the whole parasha is talking about nether and cancellation of the nether. Again, nether is a vow. Vow means you swear, you promise that you're going to do something. For that reason, when we get to Rosh Hashanah soon, we're canceling the vow is the first act. The first act is canceling the vow. Why is it such an important thing to cancel the vow before you're going into Rosh Hashanah? Very simple. Because what is Rosh Hashanah? Day of judgment. Day of judgment. You want to go to the day of judgment, you're in front of the court of heaven, and you have 48 hours to explain and promise and talk about why you think it's good to keep your life here. Now, what is this to do with nether? What is this to do with vow? I mean, think about it for a second. You just promise to be at 5 o'clock every day in a certain place, and every day you promise you're late. So now, your track record, you're never going to make it. So now on Rosh Hashanah, you promise God that you're going to change, that you're going to get better, that you're going to perform way better than last year. And that's why you ask Hashem, God, to give you another year to be alive. Now your track record shows that everything you say has no value, because you just cancel everything that you say. You promised to give $1 million, you didn't. You promised to volunteers, you didn't. You promised to buy a bottle of wine, you didn't. You promised to buy flowers for Shabbat, you didn't. You promised to pay your bills, you didn't. That's all dangerous. We cannot just speak and don't keep the promise. Words that come out of your mouth has to be respected. Otherwise, just shut your mouth. Learn to be quiet. Just don't talk. Don't promise. I'm saying it especially to women and men as well. Women talk normally, studies show more than men. I'm not necessarily agree with it, but I read the study, so I have to respect the study. And the idea is to get into places, men, women, children, just don't say, I will. Do not do such thing. Besides that, I mean, if you're going to go deeper into the word nether, I mean, vow, it'll come from the dar. Dar, D-A-R, mean a living. Where are you staying? Dira mean an apartment in Hebrew. So meaning, when you promise to be somewhere, your words has power. Do you believe your words has power? You don't? If you don't, why are you talking? If you do, then respect your words. Well, words has power. So when you say something negative that might happen to you, most probably it will. If you say something positive will happen to you, most probably it will. It's all about the words. The power of this universe is going after the words you're talking. So when you promise something, when you nether, when you don't dare, when you make a vow, respect it. Or please don't make a vow. Please don't make a vow, because that's the one thing that can destroy your entire life, your promise. You want to know what destroys people? Talking. People worry about their thought and action. We are in a generation that talking is more dangerous than anything. You can't talk bad, too. Lashon hara, don't speak bad behind somebody's back. You can't. You can't. I mean, those of you who follow the news on the internet or on TV know that everybody speak bad about everybody. That's the thing. But what is the tolada? Where is that came from? Where is that came from that people speak bad? Was it like this 30 years ago? No, it wasn't. No, it wasn't. People speak bad, really bad about one another. Some of it's true, some of it's not true. But we just become accustomed into talking bad about one another. And it doesn't create any goodness, just destroy the world and make it worse, worse and worse every day. Why is it like this now? I'll tell you why. When people don't care about the promise and words, those words that they didn't care about has to go to the klipot. Those promises that you make is to go to the dark side, is to go to Chas V'Shalom, to the worst of the worst angel. And then that angel used the same words that you promised as energy to create hatred between people, and then people speak bad about one another. Please. Nedarim. Shvuot v'nedarim. When you make a promise, somebody beg you to promise, you say, I don't know. I hope Bli Neder I can make it. Then you can say Bli Neder. Only we say, I hope. But do not promise and then say Bli Neder. You know, you might be not capable to deliver. Better that they know that you're not capable. What happened to your ego? Your ego get crushed a little bit. What's the big deal? Some of you might lose business. Good for you. Lose the business. Better to lose the business than make a neder, than make a vow that you cannot even keep. Because making a vow you cannot keep, that energy, the dark side, take it and use it among us to speak bad about another. Please listen to what I share with you. Let's move on. Well, there is a section which Dari talk about. We have 2.5 tribes that ask Moses that they don't want to cross the river, the Jordan River. And if there will be a war, they're going to come and help. The name of the tribe is Reuven, Gad, and Chatzi Shevet HaMnashe. Dari asked, why them? And explained Reuven, well, in the night of the Klulot, in the night of the wedding, Yaakov thought he's sleeping with Rachel. And then he ended up sleeping with Leah. So by that, the lack of order spiritually and physically, because spiritually Yaakov was tuned into bringing the soul of Yosef, but because it was a different woman, Leah, he brought Reuven. It's called Reuven. See, it's a boy. No actual energy. So what do we do with it? Reuven. For that reason, the energy of Reuven was not fit perfectly with the energy of Eretz Israel, of Israel. So in you, he cannot handle it right away. So he'd rather be outside of Israel. What happened to God? If you look at the God, how his mother get pregnant, okay? His mother get pregnant. We see that basically Leha, higher, okay? Rachel, higher, concubine. And through that, it's also similar to the story of Reuven. What about Menashe? Well, and why half the tribe of Menashe? Well, we know that Menashe come from Yosef. And we know that Yosef was fixing a certain sin that almost happened with his master's wife. That part of the fixing, all the tikkun, I'm not going long into it because I have something to say about it soon. And you can find more about it in my other videos of this Matot Masei. And for that reason, Menashe was not totally pure from their consciousness. And that consciousness affect that only half the tribe of Menashe can go into Eretz Israel. What do we learn from that? From the Ari, consciousness, awareness, doing, making children is the most important thing you can have. The mind. What is the mind? What is your mind? What is your mind when you do business? What is your mind when you're traveling? What is your mind when you're walking? Your mind has to be always, always, always tuned to the light of the Creator, and then flow of a lot of the light coming from the end self, the flawless universe, come down through you or to you. The 2.5 tribe didn't have the full consciousness, and for that reason, that was affecting the birth of the child, and for that reason, they want to stay across the Jordan River. Still come a question of their language that they use. And Kerem Shlomo, one of the greatest Kabbalist rabbi, human being, okay, that exists on the Torah, he writes something very important. And he writes that the whole concept of the discussion between the 2.5 tribe with Moshe Rabbeinu, and eventually actually Reuven Vegad. And they say that they will make fence for the sheep and goat and cow, for the earth, and then they will build school and place of teaching Torah and spirituality for the kids and for the family. That's what they say. Moshe Rabbeinu said, why would you mention first the sheep, the goat, the cows, and then you mention your family? And of course, being humble as the tribe used to be, they say, well, first we have to build a place of business. That's what they meant when they talk. Then we can build synagogue, batei midrashot, place to teach kids. That's how we're going to go. Moshe Rabbeinu said, Moses said, that's not the way of spirituality. In spirituality, we have first, we have to build places of spirituality, and then the business will come. And where do we learn it from? Saint Moses? On Mount Sinai. What happened on Mount Sinai? We say, Na'aseh v'nishma. First, we will do, then we will listen. Now, what does that mean for us as spiritual people, or as a Kabbalist, or the Israelite? Mean for us that we have to follow first whatever we was told to do, even if we not fully understand it. That's what makes you the Israel who received the Torah on Mount Sinai. That's what makes you special. That's what makes you unique. Now, when you said, I'm going to build my business, and then I'm going to build the yeshiva and place for the kids to study, this is well organized. That's perfect. But where is God in it? Where is the light of the endless in it? That's a well-organized. Every human being can go ahead and do it. So the answer, the two tribes, Reuven and Gad, answer, well, Gderot, Na'ase Letzonenu. We're going to put Gader. Gader means fence. In spirituality, fence means I will be extra careful. That's what it means in spirituality. I will be extra careful with how I behave with the money. That sounds good. And Moses say, even if you're extra careful, that's not the way to go. I'm not even doubting you that if you do it right or wrong, you will do it right for sure. I mean, we talk about the tribe walking in the desert for 40 years, believing in the Creator 100%. But what the lesson is for us, when you wake up in the morning, what do you do first? What do you do? What do you do? Are you thinking about your spiritual journey? Or are you thinking about the money that you have to make that later on you will be on a spiritual journey? Many people wait for this, for the business journey to be perfect. And you know what happened? Either they get used to it, the business, or they're getting old. And when you get old spiritually, you can no longer have the steam of spirituality that you have now. And until the person will not start believe that first your family has to be on a spiritual path, and then you have to take care of business. You have to remember that. It's two things a father has to teach his children. Way to make money and survive, and study of the Torah. Way to make money and survive, it's business. Survive, they say, swimming and stuff like that. Torah, spirituality. But without Torah, without the son, the daughter, have a part of Torah, even when they have all the business in the world, they're not going to make it. We learn it from King Solomon. Chanoch lanar al pidarko, gam ki yaskin lo yasur mimena. King Solomon said, educate the kids according to his style. When he gets older, he will not remove himself from the path of spirituality. What does that mean? What does that lesson even mean for us, for each and every one of us? From King Solomon, when you have children, when you have people you want to start educating, that's what Debbie and me are doing for the last 30 years. We are educating people to find the path or a way to find God. What we call tshuva, repentance, you know? How to find God through different paths. That's what we do. What basically we do? We teach, but what's the end result is to bring people closer to the Creator. Because we believe if they're going to find themselves closer to the Creator, everything else already will fix itself. That's the meaning of the 2.5 tribe for across the Jordan River. Meaning, it for us mean do not think for a second. If you are far away in the exile, the Galut, whatever you are, Los Angeles, London, Miami, New York, it means you are only there for business. You cannot think about your business when you are outside of Eretz Israel. You have to think about spirituality. First, spirituality. You start with spirituality. Then, Bezal Hashem, if you need meant to be rich, you're going to be rich. And that money, enjoy it. Enjoy it for spirituality. Enjoy it for yourself. Not a problem. But remember, spirituality comes first. Now, we know we read two parshot. And the second parsha is about 42 masai, it's called masai, path. 42 station that the Israelites stop in the desert. And we know that the word 42 is unique. First, because if you take 22 Hebrew letters, right? 22 Hebrew letters together with 20, okay? 22 Hebrew letters together with 20. Some people counted 10 Sfirot and 32 Path of Wisdom. There's many ways to count what is the 42, but everybody agrees it has to do with the Ana B'Koach. It has to do with the prayer of Rabbi Nehunya ben Akana. It's a prayer that you say in the Shachrit called the Ana B'Koach. Within this prayer, every letter is corresponding to the beginning of the book of Genesis. So for that reason, that pray is basically recreating Genesis from scratch. That's why it's so important. So every stop that we are making in this week, Parsha of Maaseh, is relating to the Ana Bekoach. Okay, so if they're moving from the first place, is Ana. Next place, Bekoach. Why is it so important? First, to tell you how powerful is Ana Bekoach. How powerful is Ana Bekoach? Ana Bekoach can make you teleport yourself from the first verse, from here to Tel Aviv, in no time. It teleports your body, not your soul. Your whole body can be teleported. That's how powerful it is. But still, we need to understand why they need to travel. What's the whole purpose of it? So I'm going back to Kerem Shlomo and say like this. אלה מעשי בני ישראל אשר יצאו ממצרים, לצוותם ביד משה ואהרון. וכתוב משה את מוצאיהם. And Moses wrote every place where they go. ודקדקו המפרשים. הרי משה רבנו רצה להודיע כאן על כל מקומות ושותיהם. Why was so important for Moses to put the names and the location of all the places where the Israelites went to? וכתוב משה את מוצאיהם. מה עוד מוצאיהם? Why Moses, it didn't say Masayim, he should write his traveling. It's a Motzaim. Motzaim, the way they came out. Vetav, digdiku mador, pasuk ha-sheni kadif tchila Motzaim, lemasayim, harach ma'apech ha-zedar. So one time it's a Motzaim, meaning the way they exit. Masayim is the way they travel. Why there is a change in the word? Because we know, say Kerem Shlomo, that the exile is difficult. It's painful. Not just painful in the exile on the outside. It's also difficult on the inside. Because you're dealing with the exile, you're dealing with the people. You know, I don't need to tell you if you are like me and you wear yarmulke, how many people will not support you in that. Well, if you're just spiritual without yarmulke, life is easier. But once you wear these things on your head, people will find a reason to hate you. Why? Because, remember, every time you make a promise, you make a vow, that make an energy and allowed people to hate you. Don't make a vow, the hatred will go down. Don't make a promise. So you say, I'm not even talking about the evil from within you have to overcome. That's another thing. But he said that all the problem we're going through is good for us. To get a real way out of the exile and a real redemption, we have to go to some training. We have to go to some pain. And I know that some of us have no idea where it's going. We lost hope. We have so much doubt about where is it going. And the time just passing by. And there is no hope how bad things will happen. Every pain you're going through to the exile, it's actually give you a gift. להחיש את הגאולה. ועד נאמן לזה, גאולת מצרים. He said, you have to remember always what happened to us in Egypt. More painful it was in Egypt, more good it was later. And more worse it become, closer you become to the גאולה. But again, what the point of Masa'e? And why is he using the word motzaem, masaem, getting out or exit and traveling? So write Kerem Shlomo. Shetachlit elu ha-masaot. What's the purpose of traveling? Ukedel ha-achish v'krev zman ha-yitzia. Is to help us to exit from the galut. Why you travel? Why you suffer? Why you have so much pain in the desert? Is only that the exit out of your pain will be closer. ואף אם אין אנו מבינים התועלת של המאורעות, נשים בהשם ביטחוננו, כי הוא יגלה לנו גאולת עולם. Even if we don't fully understand why I'm going through pain, I have to put my trust in the Creator, surrender myself, and understand it's good for me. So what are we asking in Masa'e? Say Kerem Shlomo, we ask the Creator to cure us. So we will not be in a place when we start doubting every time I have pain. When do you doubt God? When everything is good? No. Try to imagine that all the goodness you have in your life right now disappear. Every good thing in your life disappear. How is your trust in the Creator now? Tough. So, the reason we're going through pain is only to develop a different level of certainty. The reason we're going to Masa'ot, the reason we're going to traveling, is only Motza'ot. Motza'ot means exit. To exit what? To exit the pain. A lot of people sit in the pain and wait for the pain to go away. While you're in pain, you have to look into something that you can do more while you're in pain. God forbid you're in an emergency room, look for who you can share. God forbid you're losing money, look who you can help. God forbid somebody broke your heart relationship-wise, look who you can help so their heart will be in love. That's Masa'em, Motza'em. That's a traveling. But if you stop traveling, if you stop going on the journey of spirituality because something broke you, then it's tough. That's very, very tough. Don't expect a great thing to happen in your life, unfortunately. So I just want to share this before I'm going to the next thing. And the last thing, of course, in Masa'e is getting into the Eretz Israel, getting into Israel. Since Egypt, 40 years, we're waiting for that. We read last week portion, the Haftarah. Zacharti lachesed ne'oreich. God is saying to the people of Israel, to Yirmiyahu, Jeremiah, I remember you, Israel, for one thing. You know what God remembers of us? Lechtech acharei b'midbar. You walk with me in the desert, be'eretz lo zrua. You want to know how I can redeem you from any problem, God said? When you do something that has no reward in it. Actually, it's getting worse. You do good, it's getting worse. Bnei Israel get out of Egypt from a place of slavery, getting miracle, 10 plagues, splitting of the Red Sea, gift of the Torah, and then 40 years of suffering. It's very difficult. You're in the highest level, you're the most famous person in the world, and then there is a crash for 40 years. What is God saying to Bnei Israel? You know what I remember of you? He could say, I remember when you crossed the Red Sea. He could say, I remember you when you were a slave in Egypt. He could say, I remember after you crossed the Red Sea, you complain a bit. Then he could say, God could say, I remember when I gave you the Torah. No, none of this. No. What does he remember? Lechtech acharei b'midbar. You walk with me in the desert. Can you imagine that? A man and a woman marry for 55 years. They marry when they were 19. What are they now? Around 70. The husband, look at the wife, say, I remember those 10 years of pain and suffering when I was in bed and you took care of me. What about the vacation to Paris, Australia, New Zealand, Hawaii? We did some good stuff together, two of us. Why you mention all the bad things? It's not bad. It's when are you doing something with no agenda? When are you doing something with no agenda? That's the only thing that can get you any problem. When you give and you follow without thinking what you're going to get, That's when you meet God. When you're thinking, you're doing the right thing, but you always need to think what you're going to get, you're not meeting God. You're meeting yourself. Because you think all what you're thinking about is what you're going to get. And remember, you know, in Jerusalem, many years ago, even now, I think, in neighborhood, I think it's called Ramot in Yerushalayim, people used to throw a stone if somebody drive on Shabbat. Why? Because the halakha, the law said, you know, Mechalel Shabbat, when somebody breaks the Shabbat, Kanaim Pogimbo. Jealous people throw a stone on him. In Israel, used to live a rabbi by the name of Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zonenfeld, one of the greatest rabbis of all time. All time. He's the one who gave the Askama, the agreement to the Sulam, to be the right commentary. And they ask him a question. They ask him, is this considered fanatic, what they're doing, or not fanatic? Because by the halakha, by the Jewish law, you're supposed to do it. But then you can put people's life in danger. How do you do it? And he said the mitzvah of being fanatic, it's a mitzvah. But even in this mitzvah, you have lishma and lo lishma. You have to do it without agenda or with agenda. And they ask him, Rabbi, Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zonenfeld, what do you mean lishma or lo lishma as a fanatic? So, well, you take a mice in the house. You put a cat and a woman. The cat is happy that the mice is in the house, so the cat can chase the mice. All what the cat wants is a mice. And now the cat is so happy that the mice is there. So, of course, the cat keeps chasing the mice. The woman doesn't want the mice to be in the house. She gets rid of the mice with the broom, with the shoes. Just kick the mice out of the house. What's the difference between the two? The woman has nothing to do with the mice. She doesn't hate the mice or like the mice. She just don't want the mice to be around, disturb her food, disturb her children, disturb her body, poison the food. Don't want that. The kid is actually happy. He cannot wait to be fanatic. He just waits for the mice to show up to show that the kid is fanatic. The woman doesn't want to be fanatic. Going back to Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zonenfeld. He said, if you coming from a place with agenda, you have the stone in your hand, and you're waiting for somebody to drive on Shabbat, then you act like a cat. I believe you said, I don't want to know my brother or my sister doing the wrong thing. I'm going to try to help them during the week that they will not come to my territory as the mice coming to their territory. That's different. And they did it anyway, then you worry for them. That's different. What am I saying by that? Am I saying, go ahead and throw a stone here on Pico if you see people drive on Shabbat? No, I'm not saying it. What I am saying, every human being, before you become fanatic, you have to check yourself. Where are you coming from? What God loves about a person, you know, Pinchas, for example, when he had to take charge instead of Moses, why did Moses didn't do take charge? Because Moses was married to Midianite. His wife was Midianite, a daughter of high priest. Cosby was the daughter of a king, Balak. So they challenged him. So Moses, excuse me, how can you say something if you're married to Midianite? Of course, we know the difference. I mean, you're converted and all this and that. But why? Why Moses didn't act? Because it bothered him. Bothered him. And Moses said, if it bothered me, I cannot be the judge. A judge can only be a judge when it's clean. How is this connected to Masaeh? My friend, a lot of us looking for result when we do something good. Masaeh was traveling in the desert without caring about what I'm going to get. Every Tisha B'Av used to be announcing from heaven. Everybody make a grave to themselves. Go into the grave every Tisha B'Av. And in the morning, some are need to be buried and some are alive. You don't know if you're going to make it. Everybody put themselves in the grave in the desert Tisha B'Av. Can you imagine? And they didn't have the desert like we imagine. They have ananei kavod. They have clouds. They never saw the sun. People of Israel never saw the sun. It was cloud, and they're walking on cloud. And inside was the Garden of Eden, trees and fruit and everything. Vegetables, herbs, was unbelievable. They were like isolated from everybody. But still, God gave them that as a gift. Lechtech acharai b'midbar. God said, I know, I put you in a tough condition. And you know why? That's going to be your reward. It's like a father put his son together with the other children. And he coached the other children, okay. But his son is very tough on his son. Why is he so tough on his son? Because he wants his son to achieve more. So what is he going to remember to his son? His achievement? No. What is he looking at? Zacharti lachesed neuraich. I remember when you walk with me. Even it was nothing there. That's a beautiful. Last thing in this week portion is the Israelites have to build a refugee city. For who? For people who kill by mistake. Kill by mistake. How do you kill by mistake? So the Torah give us an example. Somebody take a hammer, axe, and they chop wood. And the metal part of the axe flying hit somebody in the head, either injured them or killed them. If you kill them, you're a killer. If it's injured them, you owe them money. But now come the intention. Did you do it purposely or you didn't? Your intention, wow. That's play a role this week portion, of course. Where you came from in your mind. If you came from your mind to kill, you're a killer. You cannot run to a refugee city. Because it's called Mavet Bemezid. You killed Rotzeach Bemezid. If a person had nothing to do with the person that he killed, that's Shigaga. And for that reason, that individual has to run away to another city, called the refugee city, Ir Miklat. What is he doing there? He's waiting there until the high priest will die. When the high priest will die, everybody from the refugee city allowed to go out. What is the high priest has to do with it? Simple. When the high priest pray on Yom Kippur, the prayer is so powerful that mistake of those kind will never take a place. But if it took a place, it's a Kohen fault. So that's why everybody waiting for the Kohen to die. But of course, we need to understand what is this shkaga, what is this mistake that happened, and why is it happening? Well, everything has to do with reincarnation. So if somebody who have tikkun with you from another lifetime, you came to have to tikkun with them this life. Tikkun being karma, something that you have to, you owe them, fixing, correction, something you have to fix about your two souls together. And so somebody stole from you last lifetime, you by mistake going to take something from them. By mistake. Why? Everything has to be balanced. And so we do it. Now, who is the person who's going to kill somebody by mistake? First, what's the punishment? Refugee city from the point of the Torah. But still, that soul has to be reincarnated again. And all the soul will be reincarnated in the month of Elul. Always month of Elul. Whoever kills somebody by mistake, reincarnate into the month of Elul. That's what those people mostly work with law or with medicine. To cure what they did wrong. Do the law to fix the wrong crime. With medicine to do surgery on the people that they killed last lifetime. And the idea is like that. When a person is not careful, or even if he's careful, something's going to happen, that they will have to deal with a death, God forbid, of someone, even if they don't mean it. God forbid you drive on a highway, and there is a person, crazy person, what do you call crazy, crossing the highway. You are 70 miles per hour. What's your ability or your reflex from your five senses to see that person? Zero. So what's the chance not to happen? Zero. So it has to happen. So you know you've been put in a situation that cannot prevent. Cannot be prevented. That's called Mavet Bishgaga. Now, why it happened to you? Because something you did last lifetime. So now it's time to do it again, unfortunately. And hopefully next lifetime you do tshuva again, then it doesn't have to happen to you. So when you do mistake that hurt other human being, why are you going to refugee city? You never hate that person. Because you have to look inside. If that happened to you, that means you're not pure. If you're hurting people by words, by money, in any type of way, look inside. Don't look at them. Don't look at the universe. Don't look at the bad weather. Don't look at the mistake you did. Look at it like, if it happened by me, most probably, I'm doing something wrong. It's very important, important, important lesson. If you think, a few more nuggets, then I'll let you go. I know I promised only 30 minutes. I went a little bit far. And we know there is no Zohar here. But I just want to say a few things. From Zohar Truma, Amud Kuf Nun Zayin. And he writes, because we're in the 3 weeks, Mishemit Aden al Shukano, if you set up a beautiful table of food and enjoy all type of food, you have to remember the holiness of Eretz Israel. Be careful not to fall into enjoy too much in the 3 weeks, because Echal HaMelech Shenechrav. Because remember, you maybe have a house, you maybe have a table, but your God that you pray to doesn't have a house right now. The Holy Temple is being destroyed. And when you are set for God, he doesn't have a table. But when a person, while he's enjoying his food, table, fancy, everything, party, doing the 3 week, and you're making a food, and you enjoy it, you have to think about God's temple not been built. And by you thinking about it and feel sad that he doesn't have, it's considered, say the Zohar, as if you built the temple of Hashem. And it's considered as you building all what been destroyed in Yerushalayim. I think that's tremendous. That's first nugget. The next nugget is in Beshalach. Amud Nun A, all of this is Amud Yashan. It's A. It's Rabbi Shimon. Kol Adam HaBokheh Omerim Kolo Al Chorban Beto Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Everybody who raising his voice and cry. And especially now, you know, if you cannot do it now, at least in the 9 days, meaning from Sunday, you wake up at midnight, you sit on the floor and cry. For God doesn't have the temple. זוכל למה שכתוב אחר כך, יחדיו ירננו וזוכל לראותו ביישוב הסברה. If you married to get into places where you cry for the temple not being built, you will be one of those people that God makes sure you will be happy to see when everything is built. So people are asking me, how do you do it? How do you teach people spiritually to be happy and in the same time you want them to be sad while they are happy? It's a very confused feeling. Well, the roots of all happiness and the source of all goodness come only from one place, Shabbat. And let me read to you what the Shabbat is about. I'm reading from Vayak El, Tfus Yashan Amud Resh Dalet. בסוד הזה יש סוד אחד. זה הרוח נהנה ביום הזה בין ההנאות של ישראל מתענוגם. The spirit enjoy every time that you enjoy food and pleasure on Shabbat. משום זה צריכים לתת לו עונג ובאחרת ומשתה שלוש פעמים ושלוש סודות של שלוש מדרגות האמונה. That's why you have to have three meal where you enjoy the food, when you enjoy the celebration. וזה מקבל שמחה ותענוג בין הסודות של ישראל. And then the joy and the pleasure of Israel, when your soul receives the food, food has to be tasty. The table has to be luxurious. Unbelievable plate, fork, everything. Unbelievable. Don't save money on Shabbat. Tikkun HaZohar said, when it's come to Shabbat, we're not saving money. The entire money you're making for the week depends on Shabbat. הרוח הזה נהנה מכל ששת הימים. When you enjoy Shabbat and you don't get cheap on yourself for Shabbat, your spirit enjoy for the 6 days מהרוח העליון של עתיק. All the way from עתיק יומין, לכל עתיקים נו ביום שבת, כמה שרד ואחד בגן עדן בלילה. So the whole week you will enjoy energy from Shabbat. Now when you go to Shabbat again and you wash your body in the Garden of Eden at night, and then you let your body enjoy from the meal of Shabbat, then you have the 7 Sefirot with you for the week from a soul point of view and body point of view. What could be stronger than Shabbat, my friend, that can fix your joy physically and your joy spiritually? What could be more powerful than this? וכיוון שנמצא עם האדם, צריכים לשומרו. And that's why this energy that you receive on Shabbat, you have to keep it. You have to be wise. You have to guard it. It's yours. For that reason, what is it written? ועל כן כתוב ושמרו בני ישראל את השבת. That's why it say, keep the Shabbat. What do you mean keep the Shabbat? I'm keeping that energy. Nobody can steal it away from me. It's mine. It's mine. It's almost like I give you a diamond of 10 carat. Of course, not to compare. It's much greater. But, and you have to walk through the marketplace. Guard it with your life. שבת זה הנקודה התחתונה, את השבת זהו את הרוח הזה, שהוא התפשטות של הנקודה היא. So the spreading of that energy of כל שבת is spreading everywhere. Everywhere. That's a powerful, that happiness. So going back, we know this Thursday night we enter into the month of Av. Hopefully I will give a lecture. Okay? It's actually Shabbat. Remember, through the Shabbat, we can cure all issue, all problem, all lack of motivation, but it has to be right. You have to do it right. Shabbat, the energy of Shabbat starts at 1 p.m. on Friday. Remember, the energy, you have to feel it. You have to prepare. You have to take your money, buy a very good wine, very good food, the best price that you can find. You have to be investing into the Shabbat. Bezrat Hashem, that we will be able to do matot masae bekavod, especially this Shabbat, which is Rosh Chodesh Av. Rosh Chodesh Av, the birthday of Aaron HaKohen. So we have the merit to be able to do this Shabbat as the strongest Shabbat of the year. Amen.